last case for argument, Keller v. United States. Mr. Nora.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Daniel Nora. I am a law student at Notre Dame, and under the supervision of Mr. Robert Palmer, I represent Charles Derek Keller. Today, the court should do two things. The court should grant Keller's motion to strike the supplemental record provided by the government, and the court should grant Keller's Section 2255 motion as is both timely under Johnson, and he reserved his right to appeal the present case. Keller's motion to strike should be granted as the government impermissibly sought to supplement the record after Keller filed his appeal, more specifically after Keller filed his appellate brief. Materials provided were not before the district court when it considered his petition. In fact, they did not exist until 2 weeks after the government requested a motion to extend, or an extension motion to in which to reply to the brief.
Well, the supplementary material is an order from the Oklahoma trial court clarifying the earlier order to make it clear that Mr. Keller's convictions were not, in fact, vacated, and that the dismissal order pertained to the revocation proceedings only. And so that's the sort of thing that we could take judicial notice of.
Respectfully, Your Honor, it is a position of Keller that there was no error as alleged by the court. If the court were to take notice of that order nunk-pro-tunk, we'd ask that...
Well, we have to take what the Oklahoma court tells us at face value, which is that the dismissal order pertained to the revocation proceedings and not the underlying conviction. And in fact, if it had been an order vacating the underlying conviction, it wouldn't be phrased in terms of dismissal. It would have to be, you know, the language would have to reopen the case, vacate the convictions, and dismiss the case. And that's not how even the earlier order reads.
Respectfully, Your Honor, first I'd like to make the point that if this court is going to take notice of the order nunk-pro-tunk, we'd ask that Keller be granted a stay in order that he may pursue his state rights. He's already filed his notice of appeal with regards to the order nunk-pro-tunk in the Oklahoma state courts. As made aware, there are various deadlines and statute of limitations that are the center of this case, and so we'd like to preserve Keller's rights in those instances. Readdressing Your Honor's assertion that the dismissal, the post-conviction dismissal, did not constitute a vacatur, there is Seventh Circuit case law which would support the notion, or the argument rather, that a post-conviction dismissal may be used effectively as a vacatur or a
But I don't understand you. They made very clear they're not exonerating him. I don't get it. What are you relying on in these orders issued by the court? And
again, if you look at the initial dismissal order from April of 2009, it strictly states that the above styled cases, specifically the CF00139 and CF0189, have been dismissed. There's no indication that they're a revocation of probation proceeding. And within the PSR that lists several pending cases, these are not listed as pending cases. And if you look at the bottom of the order itself, the court actually provided an annotation in which it verified what it was doing with the state's attorney's office. Look at the order itself. It simply states that the above-styled cases are dismissed. Now, if the district...
But what was pending in the court at the time? It's my understanding that the only thing that was pending was in the nature of revocation proceedings. The underlying conviction had already become final and had long since been final, and that he had violated his release, the terms of his release, and so the only thing pending in the court for which the court had authority to dismiss were revocation proceedings.
The district court made no reference to any specific pending matter within those. I'm not well-versed in the nuances of Oklahoma law, but there's nothing precluding a court from issuing a post-conviction dismissal, necessarily. There have been various...
Why would they have dismissed? I don't understand.
They say that it's in the interest of justice. Mr. Keller had pursued his attacking his state court claims at various times on various grounds. Ultimately, it's irrelevant why they dismiss it. The simple fact is these cases have been dismissed. It's somewhat irregular that...
But it's inconsequential. It's not... It has not. It says the best interest because he's serving a sentence in the federal penitentiary, right? So they want to clear this off the docket. What does that have to do with? I don't understand why that should give him some advantage in this case.
I'd agree with Your Honor to the extent that it's inconsequential as to the government's motivations as to why they dismiss it. What's essential here is that the government has dismissed
but
these convictions.
There's no indication they've dismissed it because they think he's innocent or was unjustly punished or too severely punished.
But if these sentences or if these convictions are being used to enhance Keller's sentence, it just doesn't make logical sense that something that the government has effectively dismissed can then be used to take away his liberty and increase his incarceration. That being said, this court has recognized in the Zendelli line of cases that the post...
This is an arch technicality.
I don't believe it is a technicality. It's the government has...
Why didn't you... Well, are you in the Oklahoma courts? So why don't you ask them for clarification what they meant?
Keller has already filed his notice of appeal with regard to the issue order, or the order issued in December of 2010 after we
filed.
That's
pending in the Oklahoma courts?
That's correct, Your Honor. And
all right. So we'll wait till they decide something, right?
Pardon me?
Well, someday they'll render a decision. And you can come back with some other habeas corpus proceeding.
Well, if we'd ask that this motion be stayed, if this issue be stayed.
What does it mean, issue be stayed? What do you want concretely?
We'd like this matter be stayed if the court.
What does it mean, matter be stayed? Just we don't decide it, or he gets out on bail, or what?
There are statutes of limitations if this court is not going to grant Keller's order or remand the matter for any sort of evidentiary hearing. We'd simply ask that Keller be given the opportunity to bring this proceeding again at a later date. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Nora. Ms. Robertson?
Thank you. May I please the court? The district court did not err in this case in finding that there had been no vacatur. As Judge Sykes and Judge Posner point out, the motion to dismiss would have dismissed the pending actions. What the pending actions were at the time, it lists 8 cases. 4 of those cases were pending. Mr. Keller had not been convicted on those, according to the pre-sentence report. According to the pre-sentence report, on 4 of those cases, he had been convicted, especially the 2 in question. One was a 2000 conviction, one was a 2001 conviction. The only thing pending in those cases were petitions to revoke his suspended sentence. Judge Gilbert found that there had been no vacatur, even set forth in his order that while Keller construes these dismissals as reversals, that's incorrect. These dismissals do not vacate, overturn, or otherwise invalidate those convictions. There's nothing in this case. This was a non-protunct order clarifying what was already clear from the motion to dismiss and the petition to revoke, which Judge Gilbert correctly found there was no vacatur. If there's no vacatur, you don't get to even the due diligence prong. Johnson does not hold that some perhaps post-dismissal post-conviction dismissal could start the year. Johnson clearly states that the year starts upon notice of vacatur. In this case, there was no notice of vacatur because there was no vacatur, and therefore the district court was correct on that point. The district court was also correct that the plea agreement in this case foreclosed this sentence challenge. The defendant was sentenced within the guideline range, got a low end, and the plea agreement prohibited him from being able to attack that sentence at all. And the only time he could have attacked the sentence is if it was above the guideline range, which was 210 months, and in that instance it would have been limited for reasonableness. Because of those reasons, the government respectfully requests that this court affirm the district court judgment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Robertson. So, Mr. Nora, do you have anything further?
Briefly, Your Honors, with respect to opposing counsel's reference to finding that there was no vacatur, the cited language actually is not within his denial of the 2255 motion. It's actually within the denial of the certificate of appealability. Keller maintains that he did not waive his right to appeal the present matter, as counsel notes that he reserved he reserved his right to appeal a sentence outside of the guideline range. It is Keller's position that because prior state convictions have since become dismissed through a post-conviction dismissal or vacated, that effectively his sentence has become outside of the guideline range. I direct this court to Wallace to note that there's nothing inherently set about the correctness of a guideline determination. In fact, they may be fluid.
Conclusion. Could you just explain, I don't understand, what is your view on the order nunc pro tunc?
This court should strike the order.
Strike it?
Yes, Your Honor, because if
why?
It was
it's
not before.
Why? It's not an Oklahoma, it's not a court in Oklahoma or what?
No, it should be stricken because for several reasons. Most notably, it did not come into existence while the district court had the opportunity to consider Keller's 2255 motion, and additionally, the district court did not provide Keller or his counsel adequate opportunity to object. If one looks within
object
the...
Object to what?
Object to the material, the supplemental material.
What's the basis for objecting to an order from an Oklahoma court?
It's the order before the Oklahoma court was not before the Southern District of Illinois when it made its ruling on the 2255 motion.
Okay.
For the aforementioned reasons, we respectfully ask that the court strike or grant the motion to strike the supplemental record provided by the government and grant Keller's 2255 motion.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Nora, and your supervisors for accepting the appointment and your efforts on behalf of your client. Thank Ms. Robertson also, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.